Welcome to Torah Yimecha Nach Yom with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 49. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu prophesied extensively against Moab. In this parak, which is the fourth of six prakim about other nations, Yirmiyahu shares nevuos about Bnei Amon, Edom, Aram, Kedar, and Elam. Yirmiyahu begins with a nevuah about Bnei Amon. Bnei Amon was a country to the east of the Jordan, to the north of Moab. The Torah commanded Bnei Yisrael not to initiate battle against them. Their lands were conquered by Sichon and Og, and when Moshe conquered Sichon and Og, these lands went to the Shvatim of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. The parak begins addressing this conquest of the lands where God had lived. Yirmiyahu asks rhetorically, verse 1, Habanim ein li Yisrael, im yoresh ein lo? Has Yisrael no sons? Has he no heirs? Madua yarash malkam es God v'amo? If God still has children alive, why has Malcolm, a deity of Amon and a nickname for Amon, taken possessions of the lands of God and his people? Why has Bnei Amon chosen to settle these cities? Verse 2, Lachin. As a result, in Yamim Ba'im, days that are coming, Rabas, which is the capital city of Bnei Amon and is the present-day Amman, Jordan, will be destroyed and turned into a tal, a destroyed mound. Uvnoseha be'ech titzatzna, and her daughters, meaning the suburbs, shall be burned. Yisrael will reconquer the lands from Bnei Amon. Yirmiyahu tells the city of Cheshbon, which is part of Moab near the border of Amon, to scream about the destruction of Ai, which was a city in Amon. After Ai was destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar would turn his attention to Moab. Yirmiyahu also tells Rabbas, Sfodna vishtot hatna bagederos, mourn and organize into groups, because the people from the cities would be homeless from the destruction of their homes. And verse 3, Malcolm begola yelech koanav v'sarav yachdav. Malcolm, their deity, would go into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar seized the gold and silver idols to bring back to Babel, as well as the priests and princes who together were brought to Babel and to exile. Yirmiyahu questions Bnei Amon's attitude. He says, verse 4, Matis ha'liba makim zav inkech. Why do you boast about the valleys? Your valley is flowing. The geography of Bnei Amon was such that all the runoff from the mountains collected in the valleys, making the land very productive and wealthy. The Bnei Amon relied on their wealth to protect them, but now, according to the Metzudas David, their valleys would be flowing with blood, not water. Bnei Amon would be sent into Gullus, isolated and scared, and no other nation would help them out in their flight. They would end up wandering with no allies and not as a cohesive group. In the end, though, verse 6, Ashiv eshvos Bnei Amon, I will bring back the captivity of the children of Bnei Amon, just as was promised to Moab. Yirmiyahu now turns to Edom to deliver a nevuah about his fate. Edom is the descendant of Esav. There are three opinions as to when this nevuah is referring to. Rashi says that this nevuah is referring to the destruction of Edom by Nebuchadnezzar. The Radak feels that this destruction is referring to Edom later in history, when the Roman Empire and the Western civilization will be destroyed in the times of Mashiach. The Abarbanel looks at the psukim and says some of the psukim are talking about the time of Nebuchadnezzar, while later psukim are referring to the destruction of Rome. Yirmiyahu begins. Verse 7, Ha'en ul chachma b'teman? Is there no more wisdom in Teman? Teman was a descendant of Edom that lived in the south. Yirmiyahu is asking about their decisions that they made while Nebuchadnezzar was conquering their neighbors. Edom was known to be a very wise nation. Now they seemed to be acting foolishly. Yirmiyahu tells them that they need to plan to flee, because Hashem will finally punish Esav. Instead of fleeing, those who live in Dedan, verse 8, hamigu l'sheves, dwell deeply. They found deep caves to hide in, rather than abandoning their land. Yirmiyahu then brings them a mashal to have them understand what will happen to them. He asks, verse 9, in botzrim ba'ulach, lo yashiru olelos, if grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? No workers strip the grapevines. It's just not worth their time. In Ganavim Balaila Hishchisu Dayam. Similarly, if thieves come by night, don't they only destroy until they've had enough? Thieves only steal as long as it earns them something. This won't happen with Esav. They will be wiped out completely, which indicates that there is a divine intervention in their punishment. Though Esav hides, it won't work. It will be as if Hashem is saying, verse 9, Ani chasafti es Esav, I am seeking Esav, to reveal his hiding places so that others can destroy him and his children and his friends. He has no allies, relatives, or neighbors who will come to his aid. No one is saying, verse 11, Azval yisomecha ani achayeh, V'almanosecha alai tiftachu. Leave your orphans, I will sustain them, and your widows shall trust in me. No one will be left to help them. No one will escape. Hashem declares, verse 12, that other nations don't deserve punishment, but nonetheless, in this time of upheaval, shaso yishtu, they will drink from the cup of punishments going around. Vatahu, and you, Edom, nakotinakeh, will you go unpunished? Ki shaso tishteh, you will surely drink. Esav, the ancestor of Edom, was a brother with Yaakov. They should have treated the Jewish people with compassion. Since they did not, they deserved to be punished more severely than any other nation. The destruction of Edom will be shocking to those who see it, and Edom will be a curse uttered against others. According to the Abarbanel, Yirmiyahu now shares a nevuah about the future Edom rule. Verse 14, Shmua Shemati Meis Hashem, I've heard a message from Hashem. There will be a messenger going around the nations, encouraging them to fight against Edom. When Edom started out, verse 15, Katonis Aticha Bagayim, Bazoi Ba'adam, I made you small among the nations and despised among men. At the beginning, the kingdom of Edom was unimportant and small. They didn't have a monarchy. They appointed leaders. They got little respect and controlled a very small territory. Edom, though, had confidence and self-importance. They became a terror in the world. Verse 16, Tiflats techa hishi osach, zadon libecha. Your hastiness has fooled you, the wickedness of your heart. They were so powerful that they became arrogant and cruel. They felt they were untouchable. Shochne b'chagve hasela, tofsi merom giv'a. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hills. The land of Edom was full of mountains, and so it was hard to conquer them. They lived in fortresses and seemed impervious to the attacks from other countries. Even still, ki sagbia kanesher kinecha, though you make your nest as high as the eagle, no matter how safe and secure you think you are, Edom, because of your military, misham oridecha, from there I will bring you down. Nuclear bombs and stealth missiles won't stop Hashem from destroying this powerful superpower. The destruction will be like the overthrow of Sodom and Amorah and its neighboring cities. It will be violent and no one will be left living there. The enemies of Edom are compared to, verse 19, Ke'aryeh ya'alem nigon hayardein el neveh esan, as a lion that ascends from the heights of the Jordan to a strong dwelling place. This enemy will be powerful and will take over the region. Once the land quiets down, Hashem will choose who will control the area. Only Hashem has this power because Kimi kamoni, umi yoideni, umi zeroa asher ya'amod lefanai. For who is like me, and who will appoint me a time, and who is a shepherd who will stand before me? The shepherd that takes care of this flock will only be determined by Hashem. Yirmiyahu promises, Lo yischavum tzirei hatzon. Surely they shall, even the littlest ones of the flock shall drag them away. Im lo yashim alehem nevehem. Surely he will make their habitation desolate over them. There are two opinions as to who is this young shepherd who will defeat Edom. Rashi says it's Pras, Persia, who is the youngest son of Yefes. The Radak says this youngest son is referring to the Jewish people. In the end of days, the smallest one of the flock, the sons of the younger brother Yaakov and of the younger sister Rachel, will defeat Esav. As it says in Ovadia, Esav will only fall into the hands of Yosef. Esav's downfall will be violent. The screams that come from this tragedy will be like an earthquake and will be heard all the way at the Yam Suf, which is the southernmost border of Edom. The enemies will be like, verse 22, Kesher ya'ale v'yed'eh v'yefros knafav al batzra, like a vulture that comes up and swoops down and spreads out its wings against the capital city of Batzra. The capture will be quick and complete. This section with the Nevuah of Edom ends with a description about how frightened their warriors will be. It does not end with a consolation that Edom will return at the end of time, as this is the final punishment as described in Sefer Ovadia. Edom will be destroyed. The Perek next discusses another capital city, that of Damascus, capital of Aram, which is now Damascus, capital of Syria. The destruction of Damascus will be, verse 23, Bosha Hamas v'Arpad, an embarrassment for Hamas and Arpad, two cities in Aram. The bad news will make their confidence melt away. B'yam d'aga hashket lo yuchal. There is trouble in the sea. It cannot be quiet. They are emotionally in turmoil, like a boat in a stormy sea. The news that they are hearing is how much their capital city is changing. It was their strength, and now, Rafsa Damasek, Hifnusa Lanus, Veretet Hechazika. Damascus is weak, and she turns to flee, and a trembling has seized her. Damascus wants to flee or fight back, but she is too panicked to do anything. Yirmiyahu asks in amazement, verse 25, Ech lo uzva ir tehilas? How is the city of praise left unrepaired? The Abarbanel says that this city was architecturally magnificent. How could Nebuchadnezzar go out of his way to destroy this beautiful city? Hashem responds that the beauty of this city caused it additional problems because the city was so beloved. Verse 26, Yiplu bachureha berchovaseha. Young men fall in her streets. They won't take the war to the battlefields, but they kept defending the city until all the army was silenced. With a battle raging in the streets, the palace of Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and everything in the city walls were burnt. Verse 28 begins another nevuah about a different kingdom, the kingdoms of Kedar and Chazor. Hashem tells Nebuchadnezzar to destroy them and refers to them as Bnei Kedem, as they live to the east. They are the children of Ishmael and live as nomads. Their destruction is different than the other nations. Verse 29, Ahaleihem v'tzonam yikachu. They will take their tents and their flocks. Yirioseihem v'chol kleihem u'gmaleihem yisu lahem. They will carry away their curtains, which was made what made their homes, and all their vessels and their camels. Nebuchadnezzar will terrorize and pillage all that these nomadic people have. Yirmiyahu tells them to flee now. Hemikula sheves, dwell deeply. They need to hide from Nebuchadnezzar, who's getting advice how to defeat them, and v'chashav aleihem machshava, and has a plan to go against them. Nebuchadnezzar knows that this nation is, verse 21, goy shlev yoshev levatach, a nation at ease that lives with security. They don't have dlasayim v'lo v'riachlo, doors or locks. They have always, badad yishkonu, dwelled alone. They always had peace, so they never needed to band together behind city walls. They never planned how to defend themselves against attack. Nebuchadnezzar is looking forward to taking their camels and their cattle as spoils of war. Nebuchadnezzar can scatter them all over and says, "Umikal avarav av yesedam, I will bring their calamity from every side of them." He is going to raise Chazor so that it becomes a wilderness with no inhabitants, and instead will be, verse 33, Lima'on Tanim, a dwelling place of jackals. Verse 34 begins the last nevuah of the parak about the people of Elam, which the Tzmesudas David identifies as Madai. The Radak says that they helped Nebuchadnezzar, so they too deserve destruction. This nevuah was said in the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. This nation were skilled archers, so Hashem promises, verse 35, Hinini shover eskeshes Elam, reishes gvurasam. I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Without their bows and arrows, then people of Elam are defenseless. Elam will be scattered all over the world, to all the ends of the earth. Verse 36. V'lo yeh hagoy asher lo yavo sham nitchei ha'Elam. And there shall be no nation where the dispersed people of Elam will not come. They will be broken, and Hashem will send the sword after them till they are destroyed. Instead of being an independent country, verse 38. V'samti chisi be'Elam. I will set my throne, Hashem says in Elam. Va'avadati misham melech v'sarim, and I will destroy from there kings and princes. The Radak says that this is talking about Vashti, who is the king, or the queen, and Haman, who is the prince. These royals and nobility were killed so that Hashem could do positive things for the Jewish people and to save them, directly and with precision and with hashkacha pratis. Verse 39, Ba'achar sayamim, at the end of the days, like the nations of Moab and Ammon, Ashiv Eshvus Elam, Hashem will bring back the captivity of Elam. This parak discussed the destruction of five different nations. Ammon and Elam will have a future at the end of days, while Edom, Aram, and Kedar will be destroyed entirely. There was an important lesson for this parak. The nations mentioned were very confident. Psukim emphasized how secure they felt. When they had trouble, they were shaken and paralyzed by fear. Their security came from their trust in things outside of their control, like their wealth and their strength. This parak reminds us that the only one who we can rely on is Hashem. When we rely on Hashem and not on what we own or our talents, we never have to face the panic that these nations did. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.